I'm Okila Smith. Today we're continuing part two of a three-part series on how recent college graduates can become successful in the workplace. Last time we talked about how one can excel in the job interviewing process. Today we're going to touch on how to create a professional persona. We're here today with Mary Abajay, an organizational development consultant and Washington area business leader. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here.
It's nice to have you. How does one shed the image of a college student and adopt the image of a young, successful professional? We're going to talk to Mary about some of the key elements in presenting oneself for professionalism and confidence. So let's start by defining what we mean by a professional persona. What goes into creating a professional persona? Is it more than just our clothes?
Yes, it is. It really is an entire image. And your professional persona or your image is made up of, I'm going to say, four things. It's made up of your attire, your clothes. It's made up of your body language, how you hold yourself, how you carry yourself, how you present yourself. It's made up of your attitude, which is huge. And it's also made up by your conversation, your language, or really about how you engage other people, your art of engagement. And those are the things that create a professional image or persona.
Why is professional persona so important? We've all been taught not to judge a book by its cover, so isn't talent more important than appearance?
No. And here's why. I mean, talent is important, but I can show you 1,000 talented people who are, you know, still at the lowest rungs possible. Okay. An image is important because business or an organizational life is, you know, it's a business. It's about money. It's about networking. And what you have to do to succeed and work with in this kind of environment is you have to build trust. So when you're first starting out, your main goal is to build trust with people whom you're working with. And you build trust by looking the part. If I am an employer and there are two equally talented people, but one looks more trustworthy, one looks more professional, I'm probably going to invest the projects in that person because my success is tied to organizational success, which is tied to their success. So it's a little thing that carries a huge impact on people's decision-making process about who they're letting play the game with them.
So this goes into first impressions. How
Yes.
long does it take for someone to create a positive impression, and how do we ensure that we make a positive impression?
It takes 3 seconds for someone to make an impression. 1, 2, 3. I already have you figured out. That's how quickly it happens. And once that first impression is made, it is really, really hard to change. And so when someone gives the first impression of you in the workplace, here are the things that they're looking at you for. I'm going to look at you, I make an impression, and I'm going to determine whether you're my equal, like equal status intelligence, mm-hmm. or I'm going to determine, and if you are, I'm going to want to work with you, or I may determine that you're above me. And in that case, I'm really going to cater to you and want to work with you and do everything I can to build rapport with you. Or I'm going to determine that you're beneath me. And if I determine that you're beneath me, then I'm going to keep you at arm's length and I'm not going to treat you with the same trust and respect that I'm going to treat someone who I consider my peer. So that being a given, why wouldn't you dress to look like someone's peer? That's what you want to do. You want to put yourself on the same playing field as other people.
Right. When you say above, when mm-hmm. an employer is looking at mm-hmm. you and they may think that you're above them, mm-hmm. isn't that kind of intimidating for the employer?
Yeah, and they're not going to, they probably won't. But that's a great question. So you don't want to go into an interview, you know, overly professional persona because it's also just not going to fit who you are.
Right.
You know, you have to remember your age and who you are. So you don't want to, if you're meeting with someone who actually does have higher status than you, you don't want to outstatus them.
Right. What kind of attitudes create positive professional persona?
Yeah, the kind of attitudes that create it are things like attitudes that reflect service and results. When you're in college, you're really a customer. When you're in the workplace, you are now a service provider. And your attitudes have to reflect that. So things like humility, readiness to learn, respect for others. Your attitudes also have to reflect your ability to get results. So they have to be, you know, hardworking, work ethic, a willingness to be flexible and adapt to change, those kind of attitudes, not the entitled, not the what's in it for me, but really what can I do for this organization?
Right. Last time we talked about body language. We're going to touch on that again. How can body language create a professional persona? And does this mean you have to walk around being uptight, acting uptight?
Not unless you're a banker, no. Body language that's going to help you are things like having confidence, Okay, so these are things like how you hold yourself, how you walk, saying hello to people, smiling. What a lot of people forget is that smiling is really important. And I don't want to suggest that you go out and become a joker. But remember that business is a social network and people want to be able to, they need to work with you. Everything gets done with or through other people. So your body language has to be accepting and inviting of other people.
Let's talk about how young adults can converse and engage people more professionally. Is there a particular communication style that we should adopt, or is it just a matter of losing slang?
A lot of it is losing slang. It really is about learning sort of the professional rules of etiquette or the professional jargon or how people talk. It's about losing words like dude, even though I love that word, dude, and I'm way too old to use it. But it's about losing words like dude. It's about speaking complete sentences. It's also about writing, learning how to write and how professional correspondence looks. You can't use text message language. Like, you know, most adults don't know what a BFF is, you know. And so you have to lose that. And you have to really learn how to do these things in a more mature way.
I noticed like some of the employers lately they're the younger people who are just now older. And so maybe some of them still use the slang. Maybe they grew up in the age of email and text message. Is it okay to use it with them?
It's okay to use it in small circles. You're like, if you're hanging with your boss or your colleagues and you're just kicking back. But if you're in a meeting or you're anywhere near your professional, you know, if people don't know you or if you're leaning out as a crutch, no, it's not okay. Because everywhere you go in your organization, every time you meet somebody, every department you walk through is a chance to make a contact or a networking opportunity. Because what you're looking for in your first job is opportunity. So you want to, everything about the way you dress and how you speak should scream, I am competent and I am professional and I am ready to make a difference here.
Okay. We're here talking to Mary Abajay about how recent college graduates can create a professional persona in the workplace. Mary, what are some of the biggest mistakes you've seen people make?
Well, I know we've talked about this before. Bad handshakes are awful. Sloppy looks. You have to dress the part. I just can't say this enough. But other things that young people really don't get is they don't get the difference between their intent and their impact. Okay, they intend to do a good job and they intend to really work hard and all that. But then they show up to work and they're listening. They have their flip-flops on and they're listening to their iPod and they're chatting on their cell phone with their friends. And they may be getting the results, but they're not looking the part. And so the impact of older people in the workplace, when they see somebody wearing their iPods while they're working, is that person is disengaged from us, the coworkers. That person really isn't working, or that person's talking to their friends. So understanding how every action that you take, all your movements, are being scrutinized when you're young and starting out, and the impact. So think about what the message that your actions are sending to other people, not to your people.
Right.
And by your people, I mean your other 22-year-old friends. But what's that message sending to the people who are 40 and in power in your organization? And that's the biggest mistake young people get, is they don't know how to play the game and understand their impact.
We've talked about dressing for success a little bit, but I'm curious to know how that really plays into today's world. How should young people dress in the workplace? Is there a such thing as maybe wearing clothes that are too risky, or, you know, we live in the age of the flip-flop today?
Yeah, okay, this is one of my favorite topics. Okay, young people, first of all, you have to make it easy for people to picture you in a better position, because you don't want to be on the low level forever. So the better you dress, the more you dress for the position you want, the sooner people can envision you in that, and then they're going to promote you. So some hard and fast guidelines are nothing too low, nothing too high. All right? No muffin tops. Y'all know what the muffin tops are?
What are the
muffin
tops?
Oh, girl, muffin tops. Okay, you know when you're wearing pants that are a little maybe too low, maybe a little too tight, and tops a little too high, and you got that little roll around the middle?
Oh.
That would be a muffin top. No, 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 no. No muffin tops, nothing too high, nothing too low, and no flip-flops, ever.
Any other tips?
I can't believe you don't know what a muffin top is. She's still laughing. Okay, yeah.
I didn't know what the muffin
top. Just say no to the muffin tops. You can eat them. Don't wear them.
It sounds disgusting.
I know.
Any other tips for young adults entering the workforce Are there any other habits or behaviors that you see that can detract a young person's professionalism?
Yeah. One of the big ones that young people need to do is they need to clean up their e-life. I know that it's a big generational divide. I mean, the young generation today feels very comfortable about putting out lots of stuff about themselves on Facebook and MySpace and all that sort of stuff. But what they don't realize is once you're part of an organization, once you're part of a business, that business, while they don't own your personal life, you are in some degrees a representative of that. And so while that fun picture of you doing the keg stand after that frat party makes your friends laugh, it's not going to make your employer laugh. So watch what you're talking about yourself, and this goes for your blogs as well, because employers are very sensitive about that. Watch what you do at work online as well. Your employer does actually own your time at work, and it's their computer, and you're actually not allowed to shop or surf porn sites, you know, and we laugh about that. Right. But I have a lot of HR friends who are constantly firing people because they're using company machinery and time to surf inappropriate websites. Watch the email. Be really careful what you say about your organization on your organization's email. I mean, you just have to read the paper once a week, and there's some great story about someone who wrote a scathing email about his boss on the company's email, and it gets forwarded. So be careful about your e-life. And finally, I'll say to this is understand the art of being new. When you first enter a business, when you get your first job, you're going to come in and you're expecting the world. I mean, you're expecting, here I am, world. Here I am, Coca-Cola, whatever company you're working for. Right. I'm ready to make change. And it's just not going to happen. Think about when you let new people into your organization or your life or your circle, people aren't going to welcome you with open arms. So understand that it's going to take a little time. You're going to have to prove yourself, and that people aren't necessarily just going to be flinging open that door and saying, welcome, Okila. Go right to the head of the table. So appreciate the art of being new.
Although you would really like that.
Although you'd really like it.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you, Mary Abajay, for joining us. For more information on this topic, please visit www.workingwisdom.blogspot.com. Join us again next week for our final segment in this series titled How to Achieve Success in the Workplace 101. Thanks for listening. I'm Okila Smith.